Hi, my name is Rebecca Thompson Hitt. I'm the founder and executive director of the Consciously Parenting Project, and this is the Consciously Parenting Podcast. We're going to be talking with parenting visionaries, professionals, and parents to guide you and inspire you to be the most connected parent you can be. Today we begin our third of a three-part series with Scott Noel on growing community organically. We've been talking about the continuum concept and growing community right in your own backyard. In our conversation last week, Scott had explained an experience he had had with community that actually didn't end very well, but that taught him a whole lot about what building a healthy community can look like and feel like. We continue that conversation now.
And then the other thing was that that when you get a bunch of people together and try to build something from the outside in, it doesn't work. You really, like, if that whole larger group had done things to really build a strong, coherent sense of community emotionally, and, you know, so if we had had opportunities to bond with each other, then some of those differences would have been softened. We would have been more easily devoted to maintaining interpersonal harmony while we're sorting out what is going to work best for everyone. But I think in general, after that, my thought was the best way to approach community is just to build it or grow it organically, so that, you know, actually not long after that, I took my little one to a park, and I saw this mom there that had a whole bunch of boys. They were like maybe between 12 and 15, and the boys had formed this kind of tribe, and they were just having a blast. You know, boys will be boys, right?
Yes. They were
totally in that boy energy thing, and I started talking to the mom. We were just sitting on the bench, and I said, I was complimenting how spirited her boys were. And she said, well, they're not actually all my boys. It's like, oh, that's interesting, you know? And she proceeded to tell me how these boys were started out as friends, that they knew each other through soccer or something like that. And they hit it off so well that then, the parents got to know each other, and the parents hit it off as well. And so they had just decided, you know, let's just look for opportunities to become closer. I don't think they would have said it that way.
Right.
But, when one of them had their house next door went up for sale, they told one of the other families, like, you guys should be our neighbors, you know? And then they did. And then the other house next door went up for sale, and pretty soon they had what amounted to a little intentional community.
Wow. How cool.
They could remove the fences from between the yards and, you know, have this little kid friendly tribe sort of thing.
How cool. I want that.
And I was just so impressed with that. And they weren't particularly radical people. They were, you know, soccer moms.
Right.
But that has always stuck in my mind is like, why did that work for them? And I think it's because it grew organically from relationship, not from an ideological vision that you try to force into place.
Right. I think that's a really, really good reminder for people is that, and actually I call them healing story circles at my office last night, and I had several moms, and I didn't plan it, but the topic ended up being community and finding support. And both of the two moms who were talking about it have moved to the area relatively recently. And so they were talking about that, you know, putting down roots and how long it takes to find, you know, groups of people who are, you know, of like mind, and that it's easy to kind of say, ah, I should just go back to Atlanta. You know, I had people there, you know. But remembering that there's this organic process of finding those people and making connections. And actually, a big group of the families from the Waldorf School this last weekend all had a big camping trip. And it sounds like very much it was more of this organic thing. Like the Waldorf school has never done that. I've never had a big camping weekend like that, where it's just, it kind of spontaneously and that happened and grew and grew and grew. And they were describing this community of all these people who had similar values, who spent the weekend together. They were also saying it was exhausting. they were really tired and they needed to go take a nap. But it was just that I think it's important to remember that we can't force it from the outside. We want it, we need it, but we've got to allow it and allow ourselves the space and the time to get to know people. Like those families that you're describing, the soccer moms, you know, did. And then organically it made sense. You can come live next to me, be my neighbor. Oh, that's a great idea, because we have a relationship and now we can deal with conflicts that might arise.
Right. Do you want me to tell you more of my story? Because you're reminding me of things that have happened.
Yeah.
So we had our baby and we were just coping with that for a while. And still struggling, because now we had a baby and a 4-year-old who was really had a high need for social stimulation, you know. And and most of the like-minded people that we had connected with lived relatively far away. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't like how much we had to spend time driving, you know,
right,
across town to you know. And so, and I was thinking about those soccer moms and I thought, well, maybe, you know, if I could just shift my conscience a little bit, I could form relationships with the people in our neighborhood here who are more mainstream. And so I did some things to try to do that. And then a few things converged where like I was failing at creating a good connection with the mainstream neighbors. and then we had a snowstorm where we couldn't, like, they were the only people we had access to because we couldn't drive across town.
Right.
And the kids were like bouncing off the walls. Like, we just want someone to play with. And we said, okay, we just got to do something. And so our next move was to look for an existing intentional community. And we found one in, near Seattle. Now we were living in Portland, where we currently live. We found one near Seattle, and there were some people online that I knew that lived in this co-housing community. So I went to visit them, and it looked really cool. Like, it would have been awesome, and it would also have been like there were too many problems to overcome, like financial, because with co-housing, it's an investment. You have to be in a position to buy a house, and they didn't even have any houses there for sale. So blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then because I was there, I realized that I was close to another small town where some other friends from this continuum group were. Mm. And so I said, I'll just go visit them. And this is a town called Port Townsend, Washington, which is a kind of it's about an hour outside of Seattle, and it's a small town, but it's sort of like an artist town. It's a lot of retired hippies live there. Mm-hmm. And, when I got there, I felt this really palpable vibe, like, oh, this is this community is really, it has a spirit, you know? And of course we had, some friends there, that I had known for years online. And just one thing led to another. We said, we're going to move here. It's like, we're not going to live in a community, but it's a small enough town that it feels like there's a communitarian vibe there.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that, and it turned out to be a good move. There were some other parts of it that, cause we didn't have the financial resources to do it. But we landed there, and immediately there were all these welcoming people. There was a built-in community of homeschoolers and unschoolers that had support groups already set up, and they were just friendly people. They were used to the sort of the small town friendliness.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if you see people in the store, you stop and you chat with them for 10 minutes and nobody locks their doors or their car doors. And it was just like, it was the perfect place for us to be at that time while our kids were still young.
Right.
And as the kids got older, there were some shifts, and I won't go into it, but eventually we decided we really need to be in a big city. That's just, you know, it was too hard for us as adults to really meet our needs and some of the kids' needs as well.
Right.
Just because there's fewer resources in a small town. So we ended up back in Portland 6 years later. And the landscape had changed there a little bit. And when we tried to connect with other homeschoolers, we said, well, like, where are they? They were all, every time we tried to figure out where all the homeschoolers are, they were all in one place. It was this place called Village Home, which is this home education resource center where they offer classes for homeschoolers, which was featured in the Class Dismissed. You were telling me you just saw it.
Again, yep.
We were really reluctant to join it because it seemed like a school to us, and we were sort of dyed-in-the-wool unschoolers. But our kids' needs were so great that you know, we just needed to go where the other homeschoolers were. And so we became members there. And as it turned out, it was a really lovely community. It wasn't the perfect ideological community that we had earlier sort of imagined being able to create, where everyone is completely of like mind. But there were enough like-minded people there that we could really enjoy coming together for the purpose of creating a rich environment for our children. So we did meet our need for community for a few years that way. And that has recently shifted as the kids are older. Now my eldest daughter is now 19 and my youngest is about to turn 15. So we're not as involved in that. And now we're looking at, you know, what's the next iteration of community 5.0 for,
right.
for the family.
Right. Yeah. And I think that in our culture that it does that. It shifts, it ebbs, it flows, it, you know, the needs of our families are different at different times. Like you talked about when your kids were little, the needs that you had, the needs that they had were different. Remember, just please, whatever my community is, don't make me get in the car. Because my son screamed, and I remember just praying for this village that I could just walk to everything. I wanted that so badly. And actually, I was talking to Josh, my 12-year-old, last night, and we were talking about, you know, the idea he brought it up. Again, it's in the air apparently. But he said, you know, I want to live in a village. I want to live in a village where I can walk places and I don't have to get in the car for everything. Are there any places like that? And it's like, yeah, I've had this conversation before, but I think it's lovely that he's thinking about these things and what does he need and what does he want? And, you know, and I think that just the changes in our families, the changes as our kids grow and their needs change and our needs change and, you know, being in the small town and then being in the bigger town with more opportunities, we have to follow that. And the only way we can do that, going back to your concentric circles, is to know ourselves, to know our family, to know what we need so that we can navigate those things and create that community that our family needs at the time.
Well said. it's so hard because it's so easy to envision, like Josh envisioning, like a perfect situation. I mean, there's even like multiple variations that would be so awesome, and there's so many barriers to it. I met Lenore Skenazy when I was in New York recently. And she's known as the world's worst mom. Have you heard of her?
Yes. But some people haven't. So please.
She's on a campaign called Free Range Kids or something like that. And she really wants to support the idea that kids ought to have the freedom to do what they did in our generation. Maybe you're younger than me.
My generation.
When I was a kid, you know, I rode my bike miles and miles and miles all over town. And as long as I was home in time for dinner, it was not a big deal.
Right.
And now if that had happened at the ages when I was doing that, if that happened now, my parents would be arrested and I would be put in child protective services.
Right.
And that's just crazy. But those are some of the kind of obstacles that we face to this mm-hmm. organic way of allowing people to engage in life in a more village-like way.
Mm-hmm.
Like kids never just roam around the neighborhood and find each other. It's like they never do anything social unless it's organized by adults.
Right, right. I used to send my kids outside when we lived in this little planned community, you know, but there were kids all over, but I joke, but not really, because it was true. You know, when the power went out, everyone would come outside, you know, kind of doing this, you know, like, and that's when you would meet the neighbors when right. there's power outage, because everybody was inside. So I'd send my kids, you know, well, why don't you walk around the corner and see if anybody's outside? It's nobody outside.
Nobody outside.
Nobody outside. I tried. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there are a lot of paths where you can create something. Our friend Peter Gray is really a proponent of play-based learning, mm-hmm. and he's really also pushing for this strategy called Playberhood, which you may have heard of.
No.
So he's going to post a blog about this. Maybe he already has, but he met with an author. I think his name is David Lanza. The author is, or the book is called Playberhood, which is a play on the word neighborhood, obviously. And the idea is, how do you make your neighborhood a place that invites children to get out and play with each other? As opposed to what we have now, where it's like, you know, stay off the grass, you know?
Right, right.
And so he talks about structural things and simple things you can do, like moving the play equipment to the front yard instead of keeping it in the backyard behind a fence.
Right.
Or removing the fence altogether when you can. So certain structural things like that, or just... I actually was inspired by that when I, when we moved here about 5 years ago in this house that I'm in now. We don't have a backyard here, so we had to put our trampoline in the front yard. Uh-huh. And there's some other kids that live on the street, and I said, you know, most of the time this trampoline is empty and I can see you guys want to jump on it. So right. If you want to jump on the trampoline, please just feel free, you know, just let me know when you're going to do it. And so we created some simple rules, but we removed the barrier to like, well, I can't play there because someone else owns it.
Right.
And we tried to establish like, this isn't our trampoline. I mean, yes, it is, but really we want it to be the neighborhood's trampoline. And that really, I think, made a difference for my kids as well, because the other neighbors would come and jump on the trampoline, and then my daughter would be like, I guess I do want to go out and jump with them, you know?
Right.
Whereas if there's no one to play with, she doesn't want to go out and jump on the trampoline alone.
Right, by herself. That's no fun. Yeah.
So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
A lot of strategies. Playberhood is probably a good place to start if you just want to try to transform your own isolation-based neighborhood into something more communitarian.
It's cool.
For families and kids.
It's awesome.
Like a suburban or an apartment building or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's awesome. It's awesome. Well, I am so grateful for this conversation, Scott. I really appreciate the time and all the work that you do to help families to find their own way through all this. And so if you aren't familiar with this book, The Daily Groove, or his blog, please check it out, dailygroove.com. And all right. And hopefully we'll have another conversation again soon. We'll be at RE, right?
Yes, it's going to be an adventure, as it always is. And it's really good to have a place that we go every year to convene and meet up with old friends. So I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah. And that's a nice example, I think, of the community just coming together and forming. And it's last year was just amazing. So my son cannot wait to go back.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, it'll be good to see you again under any circumstances.
Likewise.
And Josh. All right. We all got to stick together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Rebecca.
You've been listening to the Consciously Parenting podcast, and we've been talking with Scott Noel of The Daily Groove. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week for more, and we'll see you then. For more information, please visit the Consciously Parenting website, consciouslyparenting.com.